Morning.
Good morning.
We're back in Galatians chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to talk about chains, continuing, love, and trust, and cucumbers. So if you've never had a talk on cucumbers, you're about to. So Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 8 to 18. If anyone needs a Bible, just shove your hand up. Hopefully Ellie will sort you out. Galatians 4, 8 to 18 says this. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that did not even exist. So now that you know God now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You're trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like your Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God, or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is the joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I'm sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? These false teachers, so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They're trying to shut you off from me so you'll pay more attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right, but let them do it all the time, not just when I am with you. So we're going to talk about freedom and slavery. We're going to talk about going backwards and going forwards. We're going to look at how we treat each other. And then we're going to ask ourselves at the end, how much do we love each other? So free or slave? These Galatians were free, but for some reason, they had decided to go back. I want you to imagine that there's a table here, and on that table is a pile of chains. And it's as if those chains are the old things that hold us. Imagine going back to those chains and linking yourself to them again when you had been free. Listen to these three verses. Ephesians 3:12 says this, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God the Father, Christ, the Holy Spirit, in all those three, we have freedom. We have it. It's not something we have to grasp after or long for. It's ours, if we are in Christ. And yet sometimes, we can voluntarily put ourselves back into slavery. Why is it, I wonder? Well, perhaps with some people, it's for comfort. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Going back to chains for comfort. But it's going back to where we feel comfortable. I'm sure you've heard of some prisoners who had become so institutionalized that when they're released and given freedom, they actually can't cope with it. They'd rather go back to prison than to enjoy the freedom because they can't cope with it. They're not comfortable with it. Or maybe, with some people, it's the need to prove that they are worthy to God. When I first started work, when Noah just came out of the ark, there was a lady who worked at our company who was a Jehovah's Witness. Lovely lady. Wrong, but lovely. And she actually gave up her job to find a part-time job because she couldn't fit into her week, her month, all the houses she was required to visit and work full-time. So she gave up her job because she felt she had to do this to prove herself. This is a requirement. You say, well, we're not like that. But if we've ever fallen into the feeling or thought that we have to read our Bible, we have to pray, or we have to go to church, instead of, I want to read my Bible, I want to pray, I want to go to church and meet with other Christians, we're binding ourselves back into those restraints. There's no freedom in that. And yet, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5 verse 1 says this, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. That's a fact. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. So there's nothing I can do to earn my favour with God. That's just a chain. It's just a lie. It's an old way of thinking. We can become comfortable in the freedom that Christ has blessed us with. We don't need to feel restrained because that freedom is so wide. Ephesians 1, 5 to 6 says this, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. We are free. We don't have to bind ourselves back to those old ways. So, here's a question for every single one of us. I've had to answer this myself. And it's not an easy question. Is there a chain I have picked up and put back on that's restricting my freedom in Christ? Because it's possible. Am I bound by fear? That's one of my biggest. Am I bound by tradition? By rules? By regulations? By whatever? Is there a chain that I have voluntarily picked up and put back on that's restricting my freedom in Christ? We each need to ask ourselves that one. So, going backwards or going forwards? Galatians 4, verse 9 says this. How is it you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? There's no such thing when you're a Christian as standing still. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. There is no stationary Christian. No such thing. Philippians 3:12-14 says this. Not that I have already attained all this, or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Christian life is a continual walk, a going forward, focused, not looking back. Because the problem is, looking back with longing will stop us looking forward with longing. Children of Israel, they were delivered out of Egypt by God's great power, and they delivered into freedom. And yet, how many times did they say, when we were back in Egypt? It got so desperate at one point, they said, we long for the cucumbers of Egypt. There it is. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a longing for food, cucumbers would not rate in my top 10. They were a food to eat if you have to. We've grown them in the garden. Andrew's grown them. We have some lovely cucumbers this year. But faced with all the freedom and all the possibilities, the children of Israel still look back. And that hampered them going forward. And that's possible for us to do, isn't it? Have you ever said, I remember when? I remember when there was 100 people in this room. I remember when God did all this. I remember when God did all those great things. Has God changed? Do I know the future? But I'm being hampered by my longing for what was that stopped me enjoy what will be. So here's another question. Do I spend more time looking in the rearview mirror than through the windscreen? Am I always looking back and stopping myself look forward? How do we treat each other? Galatians 4:12-15 and verse 17. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? These people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us. So there's the past that Paul looks forward to and the present he's experiencing now. In the past, he came with weakness, in illness, and yet they received him and they treated him, in his words, like an angel of God or as Christ Jesus himself. How we treat each other is governed by how we view each other. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, because of what God has done, you belong to Christ Jesus. As far as God's concerned, He sees us as in Christ. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have chosen you." So what do we see when we look at each other? Do we see someone who rubs me up the wrong way? Do I see someone who I get on better with that person than that person? Or do I see them as in Christ, chosen by Christ and set apart by God? Because that will govern how I treat them. In the past, these people received Paul and treated him as even though he's Christ Jesus himself. And yet something has come in, someone has come in and corrupted that. And now they're alienated from himself. They've distanced themselves from him. Paul hasn't changed, but their view of Paul has changed, distorted by these false teachers. So, when I look at others, other Christians, who do I see? Because that will govern how I treat you, how you treat me. Do I see each other as in Christ? Because if I do, would I treat Christ any differently to what I treat you? Would I treat you any differently to you, how I treat Christ? Here's the difficult one, if this has not been difficult already. How much do we love each other? Galatians 4:16 says this: "Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?" And 4:18 says this: "It is a grand thing that men should be keen to win you, whether I'm there or not, provided it is for the truth." Let me give you three statements. You've probably heard them, you may have heard them. I want you to think on them to see what your first reaction is. Have you heard this? "This will hurt me more than it'll hurt you." Heard that one? How about this one? "I'm only doing this for your own good. You'll thank me later on." They all have two things in common. One, they're all a lot of tosh. They're a lot of rubbish. And secondly, they tell us more about the person who says them than the person they've been spoken to. The attitude behind it. So how much do I love you? How much do you love me? If there is an issue or a need of correction, do I love someone enough to tell them the truth, to speak the truth to them? If something is wrong, do I love you enough? Do you love me enough to speak it out? Because that is the essence, the real nub of the issue about whether I love you or not. Because if I see you, or you see me in a situation that is going to cause me pain or hurt, or cause others pain or hurt, and I don't speak it out, do I love you that much? Do you love me that much? And if I, or if you need to speak the truth out, we need to be careful how we do it. There's three possible ways we could do it. I'll let you decide which one you reckon is correct. There's the "I've got all the answers and you obviously haven't" attitude. There's the, I'm going to give you the truth whether you like it or not. And there's the attitude that says, I want to speak the truth to you. I want to speak the truth to you in love and humility. For I know there will be a time when you need to speak the truth to me too. I don't have all the answers. I don't have the ability to stand here and say to you, you're wrong, you need to put it right. Because I know pretty well that somewhere down the line, you will have to come to me and speak the truth to me too. So that should govern the way each one of us shows our love to each other when we speak the truth. Because it's very easy to come in heavy-handed when the truth's involved, and do more damage than good. Ephesians 4:15 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Speaking the truth in love results in growth, not damage. And that's what we should be looking forward for each one of us, if we love each other. Listen to this. Love without truth and truth without love is no replacement for love with truth and truth with love. Get the balance out, we're in trouble. We need love with truth. We need truth with love. So, in conclusion, freedom is ours. No doubt about it. God said it, Christ confirmed it, it is ours. But we need to keep moving forward, and we need to see each other as God sees us. And when we do need to speak the truth to someone, make sure it's prompted by God and motivated out of wanting the best for that person. Paul had a real love for the Galatians. They weren't being particularly nice to him at that time. Did that stop him loving him? Did that stop him speaking the truth to them? He wanted the best because he loved them as Christ loved them.